God's Little Brown Church Sermon Series featuring Pastor Andrew Chrysler.
I want to talk this morning about our identity in Christ. Scripture tells us at one point, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ. We know that He has given us His grace, given us His mercy. We are called Christians as followers and as imitators of Christ. But I think so many times we lose sight of what that really is. I was thinking this morning, and so it's not in the list of scriptures that we have in the bulletin, because we printed up the bulletins last night, but I was thinking this morning, to get an understanding of what it means to have our identity in Christ, we need to understand who Jesus is, understand His focus on this earth when He was walking around, because Jesus said, the things that I do and greater will you do because I go to my Father. So when Jesus first started in His ministry, He went to Nazareth, His hometown. And as He stood up, He was in the synagogue, and they let Him read, and He began reading in Isaiah. This is what Jesus said. So this is Luke 4, beginning with verse 18. He says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." That was what Jesus read. He read that, and he closed up the scroll and handed it back to them. And they were surprised because it didn't get to the part they were expecting Him to read. Jesus said, "I haven't fulfilled that part." He said, "Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your sight." Think about that. The anointing that was on, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, to proclaim liberty to the captives, to declare the acceptable year of the Lord. And as we have our identity in Christ, that same anointing and that same responsibility is upon each of us, regardless of what it is that how God has gifted us to walk out our life. The big categories are, we are to be lights to those who are in need, to point the way to the Father. The Spirit of the Lord is upon us. The Spirit, that same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead, be in you. It will also quicken your mortal bodies. You remember that scripture? The Spirit of God in us makes a difference. We're not the people that we used to be. Praise God, I'm not the person that I used to be. But God didn't just change my life so that I would be a better person. He changed my life to hold me up as an example, it says in Ephesians, that He might show us as examples of His grace. God changes you, changes me, so that we can impact the world around us. We are bought with a price. We are created. We are new creatures, and we'll read that in a minute. But we have a purpose in our life, and that purpose is to take on and recognize that we have been given the identity of Christ and walk in that. We are heirs and joint heirs with Christ Jesus. Meaning, we inherit the heavenly treasures. We are inheritors of His responsibility. You ever know that? You know that when you get responsibility or when you get an inheritance, it's not just, oh, you get this money. It's also the things that are tied up with that family and then the things that are tied up with whatever that person was doing. Doesn't mean we take on somebody else's debts, praise God. But what it does mean is we walk forward in having a newness of life, being different, being changed with more responsibility and more things put upon us. If we have been given the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit in our lives to teach us and to guide us, not just to make Andrew comfortable, but to make me a light, to make me a witness, to be an example of who God is on this earth, to be an ambassador of heaven. That is our identity in Christ. 2 Corinthians 5, beginning with verse verse 14 says, "For the love of Christ compels us, because we judge this, that if one died for all, then all died. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for he who died for them and rose again." The love of God compels us, pushes us, goads us, directs us, makes us to follow, directs our steps. Remember, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his ways. Man's heart may devise his steps, may devise his way, but the Lord directs his steps. God's got a plan and purpose for our lives. The love of Christ compels us to recognize that if he died for all, then all were dead. And the life that we now have is his life. He bought it. He paid for it. The very breath that I breathe is a gift from God. Everything that comes into my hand is a gift from God to be used for his pleasure, to be used for his purposes. And that has to be our focus. Verse 16, "Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh, even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new." Our old focus, our old attitude, our old manner of living, our old everything has passed away. And all have become new. It's Paul's, over there in Paul's writings, as my dad would say. Because I don't remember which epistle it is. But Paul says, if anyone has reason to boast, I have more. And in fact, I read it going through this. I just read so many things, I don't remember where I read it. If anyone has a reason to boast, I more. Born of the tribe of Benjamin. Circumcised on the seventh day. You know, according to the law, blameless. But all he says, all of these things that I counted as gain, I now count as garbage. That I might embrace Christ Jesus. And lay hold on that for which he has laid hold on me. Paul says, my focus completely changed. I was doing everything I could so that people around would see me. And I was hitting all the buttons. I was, you know, dotting every I, crossing every T. I was doing everything right. And then Jesus got a hold of me. And my whole focus and my whole attitude changed. Well, guess what? Same thing should happen in our lives. Praise God, I'm not the person that I used to be. Praise God, I'm not that person anymore. God is still at work at me. He's still he's got a long way to go to get me like cleaned up, purified, and absolutely perfect. A long way to go. But my attitude, my focus, my understanding has to be, this far the Lord has been with me. Look at all he's done. And my focus has got to be on seeking his face, drawing close to him, doing what he wants me to do. And not just me, each and every one of us, that's got to be who we are as we realize our identity is in Christ. And, you know, I pulled up the picture to put on the front of this, some of the things identified in Christ, unified with the Lord. Jesus said, how can two walk together except they be agreed? We're called to be unified with the Lord. That means we have to come in agreement. And oh, by the way, he's right and I'm not. It's not coming into agreement, you do it my way. It's coming into agreement, we do it his way. I'm redeemed. I'm delivered. I am set free. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Not because of who I am, not because of what I've done, but because of what he has done. That's part of that buying me, being bought with a price. The part of being a new creature. Verse 18. Still in 1 Corinthians or 2 Corinthians 5. "Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ, and has given to us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation." We've been given this job to go tell people that Jesus made the way to come to the Father. That Jesus paid the price for your sin. That Jesus wants to make your life new. We've got that commission. We've got that call. We've got that responsibility. That's part of being who is, being who He is. Let me go back to Luke 4. We'll read it again. Verse 18, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." He has anointed us and sent us, and part of being in Christ, part of having our identity in Christ, is taking on that ministry of showing His love to the people around us. We're in the middle of a society that celebrates perversion. We're in the middle of a society that denigrates the things of God. We're in the middle of a society that is men's hearts failing them with fear, just like Scripture tells us is going to happen. Brother turning against brother. Wickedness in high places. All of these things going on around us. But we're here because God has us here with this ministry of reconciliation to encourage people to be reconciled to God, to be the lights in the midst of this society, to be the salt and light in this generation, in this county, in this state, in the next state, wherever He has placed us. If we identify with Christ, if we recognize that it is His authority that works through us, it is His Word, His Holy Spirit that guides us. It's not our wisdom. We pray for the wisdom from above that we can give a word in due season. But we be bold because we're bought with a price. We be bold because as long as we are doing what God has called us to do, nothing is going to come in our lives that didn't come through the sovereign hand of an almighty God. And if in the process of standing up for Jesus we lose our life, guess what? That means we get to step right into heaven. Praise God. Many years ago, I was in Atlanta, Georgia, so it's 95, 96. I was working at a telemarketing firm. This is absolutely not in my notes. Working at a telemarketing firm, we did cellular phones and services. That's not important. I had a coworker who had gone through a Christian in a mainline denomination. I don't remember what it was, but she was in one of the main, the big main denominational churches, and got hurt. She got offended, and she walked away from church. And some years later, she ended up being approached by a group of people that would come knocking at the door to try to share their version of Scripture with her. And she became a Jehovah's Witness. And we're talking one day at work, and we're going over things. We're going over our beliefs. And as we're talking and as we're sharing, I said, "So what happens if I don't believe the way you believe and I die?" And she says, "Well, you're just basically blasted into oblivion." And I said, "So what's the downside?" She didn't understand that. Their religion is you do things right, you get to go spend eternity in heaven, you do things wrong, and you're just gone and you never know. That's not what we have. We have a promise of eternal salvation. We have a promise, a consequence of sin, of eternal damnation. When we talk to people, as we let them know, there is a penalty for sin. Jesus paid that penalty so that you don't have to. But if you're not willing to accept what He's paid, somebody's paying for your sin. And if you're not accepting the free gift from heaven, you face eternity paying for your own sin. Oh Lord. Do we have that in our heart that we see people around us as dying, as lost and going to hell? If one died for all, then all died. But Jesus died and paid the price for your sin and for mine. He paid the price so that I don't have to. And not only did He pay the price so that I don't have to pay for my sin, He also imparted to me His righteousness so that I get to stand before a holy God clean and pure and righteous, not having my own righteousness, which is best as filthy rags, but having His righteousness, being touched and changed by His life. And that's what we're called to identify with. When we go and when we walk through our lives and we encounter people, I was reading the scripture yesterday. We're talking about Jesus giving the commission. He said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And He says, he who believes and is baptized will be saved. He who does not believe will be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they will cast out devils. In my name they will speak with new tongues. They will lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Signs of following Jesus. Signs of being a believer in us. And I'm reading that, and I read over in John, where John says, Master, we saw one casting out devils in your name, but he didn't follow us, so we made him stop. Think about that. Jesus is still walking on the earth. The Holy Spirit hasn't been given. This person wasn't one of the 70 that Jesus gave authority to go out and cast out devils. No, Jesus said, these signs shall follow them that believe. Here's a man who said, Jesus said it. I know who he is. Devil, you have no choice. Wasn't even following him. Wasn't even with them. Yet was standing in that. Now, it's not the same as the seven sons of Sceva who tried casting out a devil in the name of Jesus, who Paul preaches. This isn't something somebody said something sometime, so I'm going to grab on that. This is a person who knew. This is a sign following those that believe. As we go through this life, recognize it is not our authority that casts out devils. It is not our authority that heals people. It is not anything I'm doing. It is the Holy Spirit of God. As I identify with Christ, as I recognize that He has anointed me, He has called me to do these things, He's called me to step out. He's called each and every one of us to step out in faith, knowing that God has sent us here for a reason. And even if we fall, steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and He delights in His ways. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholds him with His mighty hand. God picks us up because He holds us up as trophies of His grace. God is at work in us because He's called us to be lights in the midst of this generation. Look around you. This is the generation that needs light shining in it. Praise God. Second Corinthians 5, continuing on, verse 20, says, now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. For He made Him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. Praise God. He called us for a reason. He redeemed our lives from destruction for a reason. He has a plan and purpose for my life and for yours. He anoints us. He works through us to make an impact in this generation, because it's not His will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Romans 3, beginning with verse 19. It says, now we know that whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified in His sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ to all and on all who believe. For there is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth as the propitiation or the payment by His blood through faith to demonstrate His righteousness, because in His forbearance God has passed over the sins that were previously committed, and to demonstrate the present time His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. We are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. God has revealed this righteousness. God has revealed His plan. God has revealed His purpose through faith in Jesus Christ. And as we trust Him, as we rely upon Him, we stand before a holy God clothed in righteousness. I don't stand before a holy God clothed in my failures or in my sin or even my filthy rags. I stand before a holy God clothed in the righteousness of Jesus. God wants to draw us close to Him. He wants to draw everyone close to Him. It is not His will that any should perish. We are called to be lights. So do we identify with Jesus? Do we identify with His mission? Do we identify with the fact that He has selected us? He has chosen us. He has redeemed our lives from destruction. He has pulled us out of the miry clay, as the prophet said. Given us the spirit of adoption, drawn us close to Him, called us heirs and joint heirs with Christ Jesus. Do we recognize what God is doing? And do we recognize that we have the responsibility as He's given us His anointing, as He's given us the call and commission on our lives, do we recognize that we have the responsibility to be that faithful witness? Do we recognize we have the responsibility to be the crier, to be the evangelist, to be the one crying in the wilderness? Prepare the way of the Lord and make His path straight. Saying, I know you think you're okay, but have you ever really actually thought about it? I'm a pretty good person. Really? What's your standard? I know I'm not. I know I need Jesus each and every day. Do we share that with the people around us? Are we lights in the midst of this generation? Because if we're no use to God, why is He wasting time having us breathe air? Instead, He has a plan and purpose for our lives. And it might be sometimes we feel like we're sitting on the shelf. God is not opening any doors. He's not making a way for anything. Nothing seems to be going on. But God's timing is perfect. God's ways are right. The very fact that we're here breathing air, the very fact that we're here interacting with people is because God has a plan and purpose to use that in the lives of other people, to draw people to Himself. So are we just coasting along? Or are we saying, Lord, teach me. Lord, show me. Lord, use me. Lord, do what You will in my life. This is our 18th year pastoring this church. Back when Pastor Howard was still here, that was one Sunday morning. That was a much larger congregation at the time. We got here at 8 o'clock for choir practice, and then there was Sunday school, and then there was service. We got here at just before 8 o'clock. The ground was bare. April. Ground was bare. It began to snow. By the time we got out of service about noon, we had 15, 18 inches out there. It was kind of exciting. I was... Deb and I are driving home. Pastor Howard was right behind us. Route 2 had not been plowed. Or Route 2 had been plowed, but hadn't been plowed well. And we're going along, and as I'm right up here, this side of Goose Point, just as you go around the first curve, first S curve, going back, so right past Summit. For those listening online, you have to get out your GPS or your Google Maps and figure out where I'm talking about. But as we're driving along, there's a vehicle coming from the other direction. And I ease over just a little bit, and my tire catches the deep, soft snow. And it drags us right down off the bank into the ditch. My bride looks up at me from the bottom, says, "You never pull over in a snowstorm. Make them go around you." We climb out of the car, and they gave Pastor Howard and his wife Joan gave me a ride to Rich's house, Rich Ballard, up on Center Bay Road in Alberg, and took Debbie home. And I called a tow truck. Well, there was nobody injured, so it was going to be a while. 4 hours later, tow truck shows up. We come to get the car. As we come to get the car, the guy says, "Is that it up there?" I said, "No, that's not it." Someone else had gone off the road in the exact place I did. And their vehicle landed on my vehicle in the ditch and totaled it. Seemed like things are kind of interesting there, but I serve a God who does it, who everything comes through his hands. Nothing happens in my life that doesn't come through the sovereign hand of an almighty God. I may not understand what's going on, but I know God loves me and I know he's at work, even when I don't understand the circumstances. So they have to pull off the other car so they can get to my car, pull my car out of the ditch. A few days later, that 18 inches of snow, 15, 18 inches of snow, whatever it is gone. And we were driving back over here, and right in front of where my car went in the ditch is about a foot and a half pipe that comes through a drainage pipe. Had my car not been there when that other vehicle went off the road, it would have hit that pipe and flipped upside down into the lake. I don't know what sort of damage that could have done. But when I saw that, I said, if God wants to use the car that he gave me to save somebody's life, why in the world would I complain about that? We don't know what's going on in the lives of people around us, but we know God has got us here for a purpose. I'm not going to go through any more scriptures today. God has us here for a purpose. He is at work in our circumstances, and he's called us to identify with Christ to be the light this world desperately needs. Lord, help me, help all of us to look at your word and recognize what it is that you've called us to do, because you've called us to make an impact. You've called us to be ambassadors from heaven in this generation, in this community, in the lives of people that you bring across our path. You have called us to make an impact in this world. As though God were pleading through us to be reconciled, for people to be reconciled to heaven. He's called us. He's equipped us. He's anointed us to preach the gospel to the poor, the setting at liberty the captives, to declaring the acceptable year of the Lord, to making an impact in the community around us. If God knows how many hairs are on our head, if not a single sparrow falls to the ground without your Father seeing it, if God takes care of us, why do we worry? Why do we fear? Why don't we instead focus on rejoicing in who God is and what he's done? For he has done wondrous things in our life. He has redeemed our lives from destruction. He's saved us. He set us free. He's bought us with a price. And he's equipped us to do the things he set in front of us to do. He's the one who gives us, Scripture says, the ability to make wealth. He's the one who gives us the very breath that we breathe. The cattle on a thousand hills and the gold and silver under the hills are all His. Everything belongs to God. And He's called us to be stewards. And He's called us to be His servants. And He's called us to be ambassadors. And He's called us to be heirs and joint heirs. He's called us to partake of the great things of God. One of the scriptures we're not going to read says, He's given us everything we need pertaining to life and godliness. He's taken care of us. He's called us to use what He's given us to impact the lives of others, to point the way to Him. Our identity, my identity, your identity, is in Jesus Christ. And in that, He has anointed you, He has gifted you, He has equipped you to do what He's placed before you. Praise God. Father, we thank You. We thank You, Lord, for Your Word. We thank You, Father, for Your grace. We thank You for Your mercy. We thank You, Father, for salvation and strength. We thank You, Lord, that You are the one who stirs in our hearts. You are the one who draws us by Your Spirit. You have given us everything that we have, everything that we need. And You pour out Your blessings and grace and mercy upon us. Father, we thank You for it. Thank You, Lord, for all that You have and continue to do. And we thank You, Father, for the divine appointments You set in front of us. We thank You, Father, for the giftings and the anointings that You've given us to carry out the tasks that You've given us. We thank You, Father, that You call us to be ambassadors of heaven. You call us to be faithful witnesses. And You make us able so that we don't even have to rely on our own strength for that. Everything we have is a gift from You. So, Father, we give You praise. Thank You, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening. For more information, visit glbcvt.org.